Welcome to another edition of the Long and Whiny Show. I'm Jay and Mick's on the other line here. And this week we are doing Red Rose Speedway, Paul McCartney's second Wings album, released on April 30th, 1973, here in the U.S. And this was his first Wings number one album on the Billboard 200. Before we get into it, I want to get into... hopefully Mick's seen this, Paul McCartney's disastrous performance on SNL 40 last weekend. Baby, I'm amazed at the way you love me all the time. Did you happen to see it?
Yeah, I did. I got your text before I saw it. And I have to say, I didn't think it was that bad. I didn't think it was as bad as you were making it out to be.
He started off totally in the wrong key and his voice just couldn't power through.
Yeah, that he did start out very bad, but I thought by the end he warmed up to it and he was singing pretty darn nice by the end.
I don't know how he could start off that bad when he has Maunders in his ears.
Yeah, I know. Plus he should be used to the song by now. He should know he has to come out strong, but yeah, he was very wavery at the beginning, but I thought he warmed up.
He played a concert at Irving Plaza in New York the night before, and tickets were only $40, which is probably, I don't know, 75% off his normal ticket price. I think he blew his voice out the night before.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know, I think the band should have stepped up and said, I don't think it's a good idea we do this song.
Uh-huh.
But I don't think Paul would have listened to him anyway.
I don't know why they chose that song. I don't know, maybe that's the song that Paul sang during one of his appearances on Saturday Night Live. Because it didn't really seem to fit.
No. On the other hand, I thought Paul Simon sounded great.
Mm-hmm. Well, but the song he sang wasn't very challenging for
him. Well, okay, exactly.
No, I mean, it's a good song, but it's not like it extends his range at all.
Well, I don't think he has big vocal range, so he's always sound good.
Uh-huh.
On the other hand, Miley Cyrus totally screwed up another classic, 50 Ways to Leave Your Lover.
Yeah, I skipped it. I usually skip through the musical performances anyway, so I skipped that.
She was terrible. Terrible. So you're saying that you thought he was better than I let on, huh?
Yeah, well... The term you used was heartbreaking.
It was when it started out, man.
That was the word you used, so I'm thinking, oh my gosh, would Paul break down or something? He quit live on TV? He just said, I can't do it anymore. That's it. I'm done. It's over. The dream is over. To quote a John line. I didn't think it was heartbreaking. Yeah, he did. It was a very awkward start, but I thought he got warmed up and he was... singing like he usually does by the time the song ended.
All right, well, what about this week I've been listening to Wildlife again, so would it be hypocritical to go back and say I'm warming up to it?
You know, I'm feeling kind of the same way.
it's kind of catching with me now. I don't know why.
The song, the album has a certain charm to it.
Yeah.
It's like a baby rhino. It's kind of ugly, but it's kind of cute at the same time.
Does it have kind of a folksy feel to it to you, or?
Yeah.
Kind of like a singer-songwriter type album.
Yeah.
I definitely don't think it's a band. It's not a band. It's still, I'm going to stick by this. It's not an album you introduce the world to a brand new band that happens to have the biggest artist in the world on it.
Uh-huh.
But I am warming up to it.
Yeah, it doesn't really seem to show off the band.
No, absolutely not.
They really do just seem like studio musicians, like background musicians.
And that's what he didn't want to do from the very beginning.
I know, that's what he says, but I'm not surprised that's the way it worked out.
Well, this week we have Denny Lane on Red Rose, we have Henry McCullough and Danny Sewell on drums. This is the first incarnation of Wings, and by Band on the Run, we have a totally different lineup. So the band is definitely going to go through several lineups before the breakup with Back to the Egg. So you want to get into it? You want to give me your introductory comments on Red Rose?
I know very little about this album. I never got it when it came out, and I didn't really even pay attention to it when it came out. I do remember seeing the album cover way back when, and in ads in the Corvette's record department. I read that Paul originally wanted this to be a two-record set.
I read that as well.
And it was going to be a mixture of ballads, mainstream type of middle-of-the-road type songs and rock songs. And then EMI convinced him to do a single record set. And he whittled it down to, 11 tracks or something like that?
Right.
And apparently the band was very disappointed in the song selection because they thought Paul stripped out all the rock songs and played it very safe by going for the middle-of-the-road songs. And having heard the album, I agree with the band members. I think this is a very, very lukewarm album that doesn't really grab me. And it poses the musical question, what's worse, an album that's bad or an album that's forgettable?
Wow.
And like you were saying, listening to Red Rose Speedway makes me appreciate Wildlife. That had worse songs, but at least they're memorable songs. This is like nothing. I listened to the album twice, and I still, it just washed right over me. It's nothing. It's like vapor.
But there are some good songs on it, though.
Yes, there's one great song on it, but it was released as a single before the album came out. So you could have saved your $6.99 and just bought the single and then been done with it.
Well, I'm not going to disagree with all of your comments, but I think there's two exceptional songs on it. We'll get to them when we get to them.
Okay.
But I want to go out of order a little bit. Obviously, we know what the first great song is, but the second one I want to save till the end and cover at the very end. All right, so let's get into Big Barn Bed. What do you got for me?
The only thing I really liked about the song was the background vocals. The song really builds and builds and builds, and I thought by the end, the background vocals sounded really nice. But there's a big difference between a sound and a song.
So you didn't like it?
Not really.
This song reminds me of a Badfinger tune, which ironically was one of the artists that were signed to Apple in the very beginning. And Paul gave them a song, Come and Get It. And it definitely has a Badfinger feel to it. It's not out and out plagiarism, so I'm not saying that, but it definitely has a Badfinger feel to it. I like that thumping bluesy guitar. I think it's a catchy song. And I think the vocal's pretty good. The guitars are pretty good. That's about all I got. I'm not giving it a thumbs down, though. I'm giving it a thumbs up. My Love, I'll let you go.
Oh, no, this is a great song. And what else can you say? It's a great song. It's a beautiful melody. It's another one of Paul's great ballads. And it's a nice recording of it. Everything about it's good.
Yeah, I agree. Classic, great Paul ballad, great guitar solo. Vocals are great. The lyrics are great. The orchestrations are awesome. And all in all, this is a perfect song. And I can't say anything bad about it. It's one of my favorites. Get on the Right Thing. I don't know. Strange. it starts out kind of cool. Maybe it's a little sappy. I don't know. I hate to use that term. I don't know. It kind of reminds me of a little bit of a rocker. I like the guitar. The piano's cool. I always like when Paul goes crazy with the vocals near the end. But it's not really memorable like you kind of opened up the show with. What do you got?
I kind of like this song. It's got a nice gospel feel. according to what I read, this is a RAM outtake. And apparently they didn't do anything more to the recording after the RAM session. This is like a straight lift from that, and they didn't do any overdubs or anything. So,
well,
and I believe that's also true with Little Lamb Dragonfly. That's also from the RAM sessions. But with that recording, they did a little bit more work to it after the RAM sessions for Red Rose Speedway. But with Get on the Right Thing, they didn't add anything to the tapes at all.
Well, the next song is One More Kiss, and for some reason it's not on my upload. So you're going to have to share that one with me. What do you got for that? I don't remember it at all, so...
Yeah, this has got a kind of country feel to it.
Okay.
And it's very short. And the guy, this reviewer, says that it's a typical McCartney charmer.
So he likes it.
I guess. I don't know, it was okay. But it didn't do much for me.
I'm skipping Little Lamb Dragonfly. That's my second favorite song on this album. I want to do it at the very end. Single Pigeon. This is like one of those old school songs that he does sometimes. Reminds me of stuff off the White Album he did. Oh crap, what's the song I'm thinking of off the White Album? Honey Pie. Kind of reminds me of that, not close. I think this would have fit on, this would have fit maybe better on the McCartney album. I don't know. This doesn't feel like a band song. I did like the Sunday morning fight about Saturday night lyric. I thought that was kind of cool because that's usually what happens with couples. I don't know. It's not very memorable. What did you think?
I find this album very difficult to review because barely any song registered with me at all. So, yeah.
Well, that says something in itself.
I know. I really don't have much to say about this. I just thought it was odd that he was singing about pigeons and seagulls.
I did too.
And it's an okay song. There's nothing bad about it, but it's okay.
When the Night Seems to Foreshadow Call Me Back Again from Venus and Mars, and that song is much better with this type of song. When the Night's Okay, I like the guitar. I like it has kind of an old Darling feel. I don't know. The scream at the end is cool. I like that all the time. I just think he does this better with Call Me Back Again. Mm-hmm. I don't think this is an all right song. I'm not gonna skip it, but I don't know. I think he can do better. What do you got?
Yeah, he had Get on the Right Thing was his gospel song, and this is his blues song. And that's about all that registered with me. Like you said, it's an okay song, but it's not great, and it's pretty forgettable.
Now we're into this strange song called Loop, First Indian on the Moon. This definitely has a Native American feel in the beginning to it. Maybe because they're going the woo-woo-woo-woo thing, which is kind of stereotypical.
And they got those drums going, the type of Native drumming.
Yeah, this reminds me like an interlude song, like an intermission song you would hear. The big thing I wrote down was he really stoned when they recorded this? Because this is just bizarre. It had too much of a jammy feel to it for me too. I'm not a big fan of that. Real big fan of that. I like the bass riff toward the end. That was probably the highlight of the song for me. I don't know if I had this on shuffle on my iPod and it came up, I'd skip it. What do you think?
Yeah, it definitely sounds like they were just screwing around in the studio. They were in love with their echo machine.
It's strange.
Yeah, it's strange. It really sounds like them screwing around. And like, I think it was the Rolling Stone review said that, why is this song on here and Hi 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 is not?
Amen to that. But Hi 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 is on the 1993 remastered.
Yeah, but that's because it was the single. So it's
right.
Why waste it as a single when you could bolster the album with it?
I agree. It does belong on this album. So, thumbs down from you?
That would take too much effort.
Now we're getting to this medley, which I, from reading our Man on the Run book and various other things, he tried to do a Abbey Road type thing, and I think he has now come out and said that this does not work. And I have to agree with him. He's a songwriter, and he is Paul McCartney. It doesn't work. The first part is Hold Me Tight. There's nothing to it. It's a strange sound. The lyrics are thin. He goes right into this Lazy Dynamite thing. That kind of has a country sound to it a little bit. Then he goes into this Hands of Love, which is... I don't know. Maybe that's my favorite part of the medley. Is there a kazoo in there? I don't know what the hell that was.
Yeah, I think so.
The vocal's okay. The guitar works okay. Then he goes right into this power cut thing. I don't know. It's a strange sound. the way it sounded on the headphones, it made my ears hurt.
Really?
My ears are already sensitive, so I don't know why. There's something in there I didn't like.
Maybe you had your headphones on wrong.
I don't know. The last thing I wrote down, this doesn't really work well as a medley. What'd you think on it as a whole?
Well, my problem with it is the first two songs sound the same. You don't even know that it's a medley till you're like halfway through. It sounds like the same song with different lyrics.
I could get on board with that feeling.
And the Fall Into the Hands of Love thing is kind of an interesting concept, I guess. But the final song, Power Cut, I can't remember how it goes, but it was like, as it started to fade out, I'm thinking, this is it? This is what you were leading up to after four songs? This is how you're going to end the medley and the album? With just a fade out?
Yeah. I don't know what he was thinking. I'd like to get some insight from him more on this album.
Well, he there's an interview that I saw on one of the sites I was researching where he was really shaken by the response to Wildlife, and I think he was just playing it really safe when he came up with the track list for Red Rose Speedway.
But it's not... How do I feel very conflicted about this album. I just don't think the songs are that good.
No, I think that's you're exactly right. That for some reason, it's like he put all his effort into My Love and then forgot about coming up with any more songs.
Yeah, it's I don't know. I also you want to talk about Sea Moon and High High High?
Sure. I just wanted to mention, though, that another review that I read talked about his tentative vocals. It's like even he didn't seem all that self-assured about the songs he was singing.
I don't think that's true on one track, Little Lamb Dragonfly. We're going to get to that in a minute, but
okay.
I would agree with that mostly on the other song besides My Love. But let's do Sea Moon real quick.
Okay.
Did you listen to it?
I listened to the copy on Wingspan, so I don't know if that's the released single or not.
I'm pretty sure it's the same one that was on this on this album when I remastered it in '93.
Because the only version that I'm familiar with, apart from that, is on Wings Over America.
Okay.
Which I like, but then again, I heard it first, so naturally that's the one I would gravitate toward. And Sea Moon's a good song. The cutesy patter at the opening was kind of annoying. He could have skipped that.
I like that. I think this is a great vocal. It's very funky. The lyrics are interesting. I think they're good. I think it's... this song probably should have been on this album. Like you said before, it would have beefed it up a little bit. Mm-hmm. The horns are good, and he does this occasionally in concert, and I saw him do it in 2002, I believe. And I think this song holds up. I think it's pretty good. I like it.
Yeah, it's a fun little song. It's got kind of a reggae feel.
Right into High, High, High. Now, this song should definitely have been on this album originally. This is straight up rocker that he does real well. Good, I think that's a slide guitar. It sounds great. The vocal is awesome. The bass rocks. The lyrics are good. This song is just great. You know, it's like when I hear it, I'm ready to crack open a beer. It just is really, it's a rocker. He really sounds like he's having fun. You know, this song was banned in the UK because, let's face it, it probably is about marijuana, among other things. Mm-hmm. The ending is just fantastic at the very end. And I like the lyric, "We're gonna get high, high, high in the midday sun," and then he ends the song. I love this song. It's awesome. And I saw him play it on Jimmy Fallon's previous show that was on after Tonight's show about a year and a half ago. And it still sounds good with the new band. I like this song a lot. It's great. Crank it up. I love it. What do you got?
No, it's a great song. I was kind of surprised hearing the studio version that it sounded kind of thin.
Really?
To be honest. Yeah, I thought the live version sounded a lot heavier as more of a rocker, and this one seemed like it needed to be beefed up a little. Maybe mix the guitars a little bit more forward, or maybe add more guitars to it to really flesh it out. But it's still a good song.
Oh, absolutely. The last one on this remaster was The Mess, which was a live song. I don't know if there's any other version out there. This song, did you hear this song?
No, I haven't.
All right, this song kind of rocks a bit. It's the band sounds pretty good. Sounds like Paul's having a lot of fun. There's good percussion. There's a breakdown in there, which is some percussion. It's a good, simple little rocker. Straightforward. I liked it. I wouldn't say I'm going to go back to it very often, but I thought it was pretty good. So that brings us back to Little Lamb Dragonfly, 6 minutes and 20 seconds. What were your introductory feelings on this?
I liked it. I liked the line about, "I can help you out, but I cannot help you in." I thought that was kind of clever. And the background vocals reminded me a little bit of Every Night, which is good, because I like that song.
Did you get any kind of message in the song?
I don't think I listened to it that closely, actually.
All right, well, we'll talk about it a little bit. I wrote down this. I think this is a perfect song, right up there with My Love. Great acoustic guitar. The lyrics are great. There's a lot of emotion in it. I think from all the research I've done, which is actually, I kind of looked into this song a little bit about a year and a half ago, and supposedly the little lamb is George, and the dragonfly is John. And I like when he goes, "I never know," and then he goes, "Miss you so." Linda is singing on this. I don't know if she can sing or she can't sing. She's doing backup. I don't think she adds anything to it. The line, "Two rights make don't make a wrong," or something like that. "In my heart, I feel the pain." I just love that. And then he goes, "It's coming back again." And then he says something like, "How little we really know." I really like this song. And this is only a song that McCartney could write. I think it's beautiful. And I don't know, how do you feel about kind of like the little lamb being George and the dragonfly being John? What do you think about that?
That's interesting.
Did you when you think about it, do you kind of get that feel for it? Or
I'd have to listen to the song over again now.
Yeah, well, report back next week and let me know.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a short show today. I don't know why. Maybe it's because this album is thin. I don't know.
I really didn't have much to say about this album. I kept listening to it. I listened to it at least twice and just kept thinking, what am I going to say about this? I'm still wondering what, even after the show's over, I'm still wondering what I'm going to say about this.
It's just, this was, I mean, is it hard to believe this is a number one in the U.S.?
Yeah, how long was it a number one, though? I can't imagine it stayed on the charts that long once word of mouth started spreading that the album is just My Love with a bunch of extra songs.
Yeah, I don't know. Is that kind of sad that we're talking about Paul McCartney and there's made the only two really standout songs in this whole album.
Yes, I think it's very sad. I think it's very sad.
I mean, we're not even talking about the three extra ones, Sea Moon, High, 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 and The Mess. We're just talking about the straight-up tracks on this.
Mm-hmm. And it's very disappointing. I would be really upset if I was buying the albums as they came out, and I was thinking, oh boy, this better be a good one after Wildlife, and then I put the needle on the record and listen to this. And like I said at the beginning, this actually makes Wildlife seem good.
Yeah, well, I might be on my next week. I'll probably be in love with Wildlife, so look out. Is there anything to recommend off this other than My Love and Little Lamb Dragonfly?
Yeah,
still
I guess
I still like Big Bed. Yeah, Big Bar and Bed.
Yeah, I was just gonna say that Big Bar and Bed's good. The other couple songs, Get on the Right Thing and When the Night, are okay. I wouldn't recommend them, but they're okay. Single Pigeon and Only One More Kiss are kind of too short to really recommend. And the instrumental and the medley are really seem like album filler.
For sure. Yeah.
So yeah, it's really disappointing.
So
I'm quitting the podcast. I'm going to start a John Lennon podcast because I've heard his albums are better. So that's it. This is too disheartening. I can't go on.
So we've listened so far to McCartney, Ram, Wildlife, and now this album. Out of those four, what do you think? What do you have? What would you recommend out of those four?
Oh, the first two.
Ram and McCartney?
Yeah, in that order.
Oh man, I don't know. I this album is, I hate to use that word, disappointing, but it's definitely, it lacks what I know and love about Paul McCartney. Mm-hmm. Ironically, that being said, I kind of felt that way about Flowers in the Dirt when it came out.
Heavens.
But after I heard it three or four times, I was on board with it. But this, I just don't think if I keep playing this, I just don't think I'm going to find more on it to like. I mean, you're right. It ends with a whisper, so to speak, with this medley. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad he's kind of come out and said it that didn't work very well. I don't know. That's all I got.
Yeah. I do not think this album is going to make the transition into my music library. I think my one or two listens is enough.
Well, I want you to go back and listen to Little Lamb Dragonfly. I want to talk about that a little more next week.
Okay.
I think that song's very interesting. And I think it's such a, I don't know, the lyrics just really, really affect me. I really like it. Well, next week we're going on to probably his most famous Wings album and probably his most famous solo album, I guess. I mean, maybe that's debatable. Band on the Run.
I hope it's a good one.
Is there even any point reviewing Band on the Run? I mean,
well, now you sound like our listeners.
I mean, it's so, everybody knows Band on the Run. It's a classic. Are we going to find anything negative to say about Band on the Run?
Oh, I'm sure I can find something. You underestimate me.
Really?
Yeah, of course. I can find something negative about anything.
How many times do you think you've heard Band on the Run over the years?
Actually, not that many. All the way through? I've only heard it all the way through just recently.
Really?
Yeah. I never really got into solo McCartney until Tug of War. Like I said last time.
All right. Well, next week we're going to get into that one. I mean, we should have a lot to say about that. I mean, some of my favorite McCartney songs are on that album. But that being said, I think so much has been said about that album. I don't know what new earth-shattering information we're going to bring to it, but stay tuned for that. All right. So I wanted to ask you a question since we are doing a McCartney podcast. I wonder how you felt. Don't edit this out because maybe we can get some listener feedback. Well, I know how you felt about maybe making a deviation every once in a while and doing a classic album that we both love and just giving our review of it.
Sure, we could do that. Because, you know, this thing isn't running long enough as it is.
I was thinking about Quadrophenia.
Oh, God.
How do you feel about that?
I'm just thinking what I would say about it. I don't know if I'd have anything to say. I mean, anything more to say that hasn't already been said. But yeah, we can do your favorite classic albums.
Yeah, I just thought maybe down the road we'd do a special episode, kind of break it up a little bit. I don't know, just to do something different. Maybe a month or so down the road, maybe we'll do that. I think Quadrophenia would be fun, though. All right, tell everybody where to get us at, and we'll get out of here.
You can find our blog at thelongandwinyshow.com. You can email us at podcast@thelongandwinyshow.com. Look for us on Facebook at facebook.com/longandwiny or on Twitter at twitter.com/longandwiny.
All right, that wraps it up. Next week, we're going to delve into an album that probably nobody's ever heard of before, Band on the Run. We'll see you next weekend.